Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Welcome back. Man. Thankfully, yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah. Well, you guys did a great job last week. I was impressed. So thank you for filling in for me. It was awesome. And I just needed to step away for a little bit there. But I'm glad to be back. I miss it when I'm not out getting a chance to come out here and vent during the week. It kind of leaves me feeling all bloated with anger and derision for what's happening.
It all saved up, huh?
Yes, it absolutely does. Well, what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news we put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. It's the news.
You need to know.
You need to know. Exactly right.
Sorry,
it's close enough. www.thedailydrift.com. And I go through the internet from around the world looking for news that you won't get at the mainstream media. So make sure that you check it out. www.thedailydrift.com. And if you miss the show live here at Wham Talk 1600, you can catch it Saturday and Sunday evenings at rednationrising.us or on Spreaker or on YouTube or archived at thedailydrift.com. So pretty easy.
It's
the easiest. And I put all the links out on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah. And if you're not,
friend us on Facebook.
Twitter, get on Twitter, get on Gab, do what you got to do. But get out there and make your piece known to people. So we're going to talk about the Comey firing this week, and we will get to that. But we do have a guest calling in. He hasn't called in yet.
I hope for.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
There are some other. Well, let's start with something that I wanted to talk about, and you can go. One of our listeners, PGH expat, I won't say David's last name because I don't like giving people up, but he sent this to me, and it's from MLive, and it's about Washtenaw County. And Washtenaw County planning to financially assist undocumented immigrants. All right, so people of Washtenaw County, especially you Ann Arborites, here in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, I know you're all touchy-feely and like to be good about stuff, but it's just aggravating that our county commissioners feel that it's perfectly okay to take our tax dollars,
and, our money,
and stick the finger in the eye of the federal government.
Our money,
yes, and the laws of our nation, and say, oh, we're going to give IDs to illegals. We're gonna be so inclusive and diverse. Blah blah blah. You know what? Follow the law, man. What the heck is wrong with the Washtenaw County Commission? You know, follow the law. We have rules. We are a nation of laws, not a nation of lawbreakers.
Yep.
These people deserve to be in jail, frankly.
Yep. We're not a sanctuary county.
We are not. Well, they want us to be a sanctuary county.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And frankly, the filth and degeneracy of the Washtenaw County Commission is frankly disgusting to me. I can't stand it. The last guy that was on that board that was worth a doggone was Dan Smith, and he's gone now.
Yep.
Because the idiot voters in Washtenaw County didn't understand that you needed at least one conservative on that board. And he was the only guy that was there. And Dan was not like a super right-wing guy either. He's a very moderate Republican. And yet, he didn't get elected back in
this last time. We need an electoral college for the county elections, you know, to keep Ann Arbor from dominating.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, you know. Well, and then you get these crazy farmers out there who are Republicans who vote for people like Debbie Stabenow.
Yeah.
I don't need Debbie stabbing off or anything. So
Debbie stabbing her back.
Yeah, Debbie stab me in the back now. Yes, that's the way it goes. Well, so I guess we just heard our guest is going to call in at around 1:35, which is perfect. So we can get this because I'm already fired up, right? Is my blood pressure going, Derek? Can you see the red over here? Yes. You can tell last week I missed my opportunity to get this out of me.
It's
you
all
know?
Stored up.
Okay, so they fired Comey this week. And let's just be honest. You Democrats and you media people that are out there crying the blues, saying Trump is wrong, he should be impeached for this kind of nonsense. Number one, it's constitutional. So shut up! We had every right to get rid of it. Barack Obama, had he been doing his job, would have fired Comey before. And why? Because he kind of screwed over Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
And he screwed over Trump. Yep. And now he's trying to screw Trump again.
Yep.
So this scumbag, Comey, is gone now, thank goodness, and refusing right? If you go to thedailydrift.com, refusing to testify when the Senate asked him to come in. Why? Because he probably doesn't want to get his in a ringer. You know what I mean?
He doesn't want to. Who wants to face up to all that criticism? You know?
Yeah, right. Well, so.
Getting it in the press as it is.
But to make matters worse, all right, so this guy is kind of in the pocket, right? And let's be honest, Comey's brother or brother-in-law sits on one of those boards for HSBC Bank, right, which got money and worked with the Clinton Foundation. So it's highly suspect that Mr. Comey's buttering both sides of his bread from the right and the left, doing whatever he has to do. I just look at the guy in his beady little eyes, and I don't trust him. You know what I mean? I just don't.
Right-hand man McCabe.
Nice segue.
Sorry.
Beautiful segue. I'm glad you did. So, Derek, let's go to track one. So now the guy that is in charge temporarily is Andy McCabe, right? And we're going to get into Mr. McCabe.
Rhymes with Sally Yates.
That's right. So let's play this, and let's listen to him talking about, one of the guys asked him, is the FBI all against Comey? Go ahead and play that, Derek.
Heard in the news that claims that Director Comey had lost the confidence of rank-and-file FBI employees. You've been there for 21 years. In your opinion, is it accurate that the rank-and-file no longer supported Director Comey?
No, sir. That is not accurate. I can tell you, sir, that I worked very, very closely with Director Comey. From the moment he started at the FBI, I was his executive assistant director of national security at that time. I then worked for him running the Washington field office. And of course, I've served as deputy for the last year. I can tell you that I hold Director Comey in the absolute highest regard. I have the highest respect for his considerable abilities and his integrity.
I can't take it anymore.
The greatest privilege and honor of my professional life to work with him. I can tell you also that Director Comey enjoyed broad support within the FBI and still does to this day. We are a large organization. We are 36,500 people across this country, across this globe. We have a diversity of opinions about many things. But I can confidently tell you that the vast majority of FBI employees enjoyed a deep and positive connection to Director Comey.
That explains all the reports of the agents who were avoiding him in the hallways after his Clinton bust. I'm not following this whatsoever. All the reports from people who knew people, not just conjecture, but there was this shunning of Comey after what he did with Hillary Clinton back in June or July.
Yeah, this blathering sycophant.
Yes.
Mr. McCabe talking on and on. You know, I did. It's a good thing we don't have a camera in here because I just did the Anderson Cooper eye roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Scumbag is all I got to say for this guy because you know what? Mr. McCabe himself, and you go to thedailydrift.com and check this out, is under investigation concerning Hillary Clinton emails. Now, my question to this is this. Why the hell haven't we cleaned house yet? What is a scumbag like that doing that? Send his ass to Alaska, for crying out loud. Why is he here? Yep. He should certainly not be the guy temporarily in charge. And this is what drives me crazy about Trump. Stop being so nice to the guy. Get rid of him. Send him to Guam.
Yep.
They with 36,000 people in the FBI, offices across the globe, send him to Antarctica, for crying out loud. Get that dirtbag out of Washington, D.C., where he can make more trouble, which is what he's doing right now.
How do you really feel about this?
Oh, my. You can feel me, right? You can feel it. It's thick in this room right now. Well, let's go to track two, Derek, while I'm hot on this, because this is a little, what do we say, a flashback, shall we, to what's going on with Mr. McCabe and his wife, Dr. Wife, Jill. Go ahead and play that.
To Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton gave nearly $500,000 to the election campaign of the wife of an FBI official. who later helped oversee the investigation into Clinton's email use. This Wall Street Journal exclusive adds further mystery into the Clinton investigation. We're joined by WSJ reporter Devlin Barrett to discuss. Hi, Devlin. This is a complex trail of events. How far back does Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe go with the Clintons?
When dinosaurs ruled the earth, that's how far back. I mean, what?
We lost it. While Derek tries to get that back, yeah. we'll figure it out. We don't even need any more of that. $500,000 from the Clinton Foundation to the wife of Andrew McCabe, who's investigating Hillary Clinton. At what point is there not a conflict of interest here?
I mean, wasn't there an insistence that Jeff Sessions recuse himself over the Russia stuff? I mean, come on now.
Unless you're a Democrat, you don't have to recuse yourself. If that is not a clear-cut case of conflict of interest, what in the hell is? Somebody, please tell me, why is this guy there? Derek, you got it back. All right, let's continue rolling this proof of malfeasance on the part of Andrew McCabe and his wife.
Well, he's been a decades-long close ally of them, chief fundraiser for them. He goes back a very long way with them.
All right. Can you explain then the history of payments he made to the campaign of Dr. Jill McCabe?
Right. So what matters here is that Terry McAuliffe is now the governor of Virginia. And last year he was trying to get a majority in the Virginia State Legislature, the Virginia State Senate. And one of the people he wanted to help him do that was a woman named Dr. Jill McCabe. She's a doctor in Northern Virginia. And he wanted her to challenge a Republican, at which she went ahead and agreed to do. In the course of that campaign, Mr. McAuliffe's PAC gave nearly $500,000 to Ms. McCabe's campaign, and the state Democratic Party gave another $200,000 to that campaign. That made up about a third of her entire fundraising just from essentially McAuliffe-controlled entities. And so the rub here, though, is that Dr. Jill McCabe's husband happens to be right now the number two official at the FBI. And so
now number
last
one.
November, yep. Last October, the donations were made to the McCabe campaign by the McAuliffe entities. A few months later, Andy McCabe is put in charge as deputy director of overseeing the Clinton email investigation.
Okay.
Wait. Only donated a third. That's a fraction. A third is a fraction. That's just a fraction. Three quarters is a fraction.
One third of his wife's entire campaign war chest came from the Clintons, right?
Yep. That's it. Laundered
it's
a, money.
It's yes. Yeah. Laundry is not even the word to touch it, right?
What if it was laundered to be clean?
it boggles my mind because did you hear it on ABC? Did you hear it on NBC? NBC. Yes, crickets. Nothing but. I'm not even sure I heard Fox bring it back up again that McCabe's are guilty of sin of taking in money from the Clintons while they're investigating the Clintons. It doesn't get any dirt. For crying out loud, folks, you're looking at dirt? This is like the mafia. Well, it doesn't get any dirtier than this.
It just occurs to me, who controls the legislature right now? Who could do a House investigation of this?
It could be the House of Representatives. Yeah. It could be the Senate Intel. Yeah. It could be Jeff Sessions. And I'm crossing my fingers that DOJ. Mm-hmm. But how many of these Clintonites and Obamalites are still in there preventing this stuff from happening? You know, if Andrew McCabe is running the FBI right now, we're never going to see anything.
And why? Okay, why is McCabe there? Why are these Clintonites still there? Why? You know, we need to move. I'm sorry. I appreciate Gorsuch, okay? Appreciate the daylights out. I appreciate EOs on Christians not being harassed by the IRS and other government agencies. There's so much I appreciate about what Trump has done so far for this country. But it begs a question. Maybe he is getting a little more sleep than we think, you know?
I'm sure the battle, it's an uphill battle for him every day. Because you know what? I'm sure people that are in the White House, if there are people, establishment GOP in the White House, you know damn well they're not on his side. You know, I still don't trust Reince Priebus. I certainly don't trust Paul Ryan. I don't trust Mitch McConnell. I don't trust any of the established Republicans. If I had my way, they'd be gone.
But this
they'd
is
be
where,
gone, all of them.
This is where Bannon comes in. This, I mean, these are where his staff and his close advisors, they're supposed to take the load. They're supposed to be looking out for why aren't these appointments being made? What can we do? What can we get on with the revolution?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what the problem is there.
Well, and instead, the media, the Democrats, the establishment GOP, like John McCain, Traitor John, Tokyo Rose, goodness. John McCain.
Yeah.
Another complete filth bag himself.
Yep.
Just go retire already.
Doesn't appear to be the hero that he appears to be.
Oh, no. One of these days we're going to play, because I tweet it out all the time, we're going to play the propaganda video that he did for the North Vietnamese.
Yep.
Let's take one step back here, because all you're seeing from the media and the left and the establishment is, Russian collusion, Russian. Let me tell you something, folks. The FBI, the DOJ, the Senate, the House of Representatives is still so filled with Democrat, Clintonites, establishment people, Obama. If there was in even one iota of proof of Russian collusion, it would have been out by now. It would have been out by now.
Well, there is proof of Russian collusion. There is. It's just not with Trump. It was with the Clinton campaign.
Which goes to the next deal. Nice segue again, because you know what?
We're
Hillary Clinton sold what? 20 to 25% of the United States uranium to a Russian holding company?
Yep.
Sold it straight out to Vladimir Putin, folks. Why is that not being investigated? Why? That's the proof. That's the Russian collusion. You hit it right on the head.
Yep.
That's
why you keep me around, right?
You make me laugh. See, you make me laugh. Now, the proof is there, but it's not against Trump. It's against the Democrats and the establishment Republicans. These are the people that are guilty of screwing over the American people, and they should be angry. Rise up, America. You've done it once now. Now it's time to go in 2018. And clean house of these establishment Republicans and the leftover Democrats and get them out of here.
Tell Vladimir after the election I can be more flexible. That's collusion.
All right. So in the meanwhile, here's another. And I saw very little of this on television, right? But it should have been all over the place. Former Prime Minister of Bangladesh says Hillary Clinton personally pressured her to aid the Clinton Foundation despite all the ethic laws that deem that as illegal. Bangladeshi Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, this is a woman, mind you, said that Hillary Clinton's personally pressured her to help a Clinton Foundation donor during Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State in 2011. She was Secretary of State and pushing.
Shake
using her abuse of power. Can anyone say, let's say that together.
Abuse of power.
Yes. And despite it being against ethic laws, Hasina's press secretary told Circa, which is the media outlet that did this, Clinton placed a phone call to her office in March of 2011, insisting that 2006 Nobel Peace Prize winner Dr. Muhammad Yunus get his job back as chairman of Grameen Bank, a famous microcredit bank in the country. Yuman is chairman of the bank's nonprofit Grameen America, which donated between $100,000 and $250,000 to the Global Clinton Initiative. He also chairs Grameen Research, which donated an estimated $25 to $50 to the CGI, Clinton Global Initiative. So the laws have been broken left and right here, folks. The jails should be filled with Clinton people and Obama people right now. And I think they would be if we didn't have the media backing up the Democrats and the liberals and the establishment trying to protect themselves. Washington needs an enema so bad, I don't know what to do.
I never see this stuff on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. And there's a good reason for that. I don't watch those channels.
Do you know how many T-shirts I'd have to sell to make that much money?
No, my man. You don't sell T-shirts. You sell influence to big business and foreign governments.
Slick Willie.
This one's Eric.
Slick Willie.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane that every media outlet in the country from before the election wasn't jumping on this and putting it out there. And now that we have a president and Jeff Sessions as attorney general, these people should be prosecuted, prosecuted, prosecuted. I want to see Hillary Clinton in orange. In fact, you know what? Here's what I want to see, Hollywood. Take a real step to something entertainment. Orange is the New Black. The new season should come out in the fall or something. Let's put a former presidential candidate on the show.
Yeah.
It just changed the name a little bit because you know what? It doesn't get any. They did the Martha Stewart thing. Yeah. They slammed Martha Stewart by doing that. Let's slam Hillary Clinton and put a presidential candidate into the holding cells with the chicks from Orange and Black.
I want reality TV. I want it in reality.
You think you'll ever see that? Yeah, of course not.
Man, how can we work Trump into that too?
I'm sure they would in some bad light, right? It's Hollywood.
You're fired.
But it comes right back to the point.
Yeah.
Here we had Chuck Schumer, right, coming right out just months. And I think the American people are smart enough. I really do believe the American people are looking at this and going, Chuck Schumer, you were the biggest hypocrite and a jack wagon, because here you are yelling at Trump for doing what you told him to do or what you told Obama to do and getting rid of Comey. Now he did it. And so every one of you House of Representative Democrats and Senate Democrats, Feinstein and Pelosi in the House and the rest of them who are making this crap up about Trump being a fascist and ending the freedom of whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, stop with the nonsense. You wanted Comey fired when you thought he was hurting Hillary.
Yep.
And now we're just getting rid of him.
Now they want to make it look like, oh, Trump's just covering himself from the collusion.
No collusion, because let me assure you, you had months and months and months and still have months and months because Andrew McCabe is right there. If there was anything proof-wise of collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign, it would be out because Mr. McCabe would have leaked it already or would have pushed the investigation to get that information out there. There's nothing. They can't even manufacture it. How stupid are they? They can't even manufacture it.
Who was Clapper with in front of a congressional hearing? Some woman. I can't remember her name. And they were both asked, do you see any evidence of collusion? And Clapper said basically, no.
It wasn't Sally Yates, was it?
Yes, there you go. Yeah, it was. And then Sally Yates says,
she kind of reminds me of the Gravedigger or Crypt Keeper watching her around. I'm sorry. I'm being demonizing. Ooh. Well, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right?
But here she's got to go political and say, oh, there's stuff I know you don't know. There's stuff she knows that Clapper doesn't know?
Yeah.
Please. Come on. Really.
Woman, please. That's all I got to say.
Get playing it political.
Out you went. And you know what? Comey, out you went. And who was the guy in New York? Preet Bajat, whatever. Another one. Out. Good. Keep going, Donald. Clean house. Get McCabe out of there, too. And if you can't fire him, send him somewhere so cold and nasty, he'll retire on his own.
Section Chief Thule Greenland.
There you go. Yeah. See?
Yep.
That might be too close to home. I prefer Antarctica, you know. But it is time to clean house. And I'm not sure why it's taking so long. I guess I do know. The bureaucracy in Washington is so thick with protectionism. And I think, you know, if you are a staffer at the FBI, you're probably a member of a government union, right?
So who are you thinking should get Comey's job? You got any choices?
Sheriff David Clark.
You think?
That's my call. Sheriff David Clark. How about Ted Cruz?
Yeah, I'd go for that.
Well, I'd hate to lose it.
I'd hate to lose somebody with some heavy managerial experience, though, to tell you the truth. I think it's got to be somebody that has respected the troops.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Who that might be.
Well, 734-822-1600. If you want to call in and give us that, well, it's probably a little late now because we've got a guest coming in after the bottom of the hour. But, yeah, I mean, that's a great question, you know. People should get out there and start tweeting it to Trump because you know he reads the tweets. Mm-hmm. Who should be in there? I saw the list of four, and why Andrew McCabe was on that initial list of four. Maybe it's just politics and you have to
just
do it because he's next in line. But
you
know what? If that scumbag has a job when this is all said and done, I'm going to be pretty doggone angry.
I'm hoping it's an unknown, to be honest with you. I'm hoping it's somebody we really don't know, but who it turns out has integrity, who has the respect of his fellow agents, and has great managerial experience. There's got to be that person there who is not the high profile, the Trey Gowdy, the Sheriff Clark. Somebody.
Trey Gowdy, there's another one.
Yeah, but see, he's a prosecutor, but I don't know that he's a manager.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's the bottom of the hour, and thank you for letting me vent. My apologies to those of you who had to turn your radio down a little bit, but this was pent up for 2 weeks now. And
we got to change microphones now. You wore that one out.
All right, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. President Trump gave his first commencement speech this morning at Liberty University in Virginia. He's now back in Washington, where interviews for the replacement for ousted FBI Director James Comey are starting.
Sources tell us that at least five people are expected to be interviewing here today. Potential replacements for Comey are interviewing at the DOJ. The first person that came here appeared to be Alice Fisher. She is a former assistant attorney general.
Fox's Ellison Barr. Cyber technicians working round the clock after a cyber attack slammed some 100 countries around the world, as well as companies like FedEx.
Hospitals, schools and universities are among institutions affected here in Asia. PCs are locked up in China, the Philippines and Vietnam. Taiwan is said to be badly hit.
Fox News' Alistair Wanklin. Fox News, we report, you decide.
This is Mark with Ashelman Equipment. Need help with your property maintenance? Ashelman Equipment has LS tractor loaders ready to go. Power steering and hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Want to stay out of the weather? Cab tractors with heat and AC in stock. Buckets, forks, snow blades are changed with just a pull of a lever. LS Tractor is the highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction. Awarded by EDA for 2015 and again in 2016. Highest quality, more features standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in the studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. And I am your aforementioned host, Gary Wellings. So good to be back. It's Mother's Day tomorrow, folks. And if you have not made plans, you should get hold of the Whitmore Lake Golf Links out in Whitmore Lake tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. They have the huge breakfast buffet. Adults $19.95, kids $8.95, 3 and under for free. And that includes your non-alcoholic drinks, but they also have a $5 Bloody Mary bar, which is pretty awesome, $3 mimosas. And so you name it. They got the fruit, the eggs, pastries, hash browns, omelet station, you name it. And it's conveniently located off of 6 Mile Road in US 23 there. Just head east on 6 Mile and kind of follow the winds around to the golf course there. And that is a great golf course. If you've never golfed the links of Whitmore, you really should give it a shot because it's a beautiful course. And the back nine is really tough, but beautiful. Yeah, great place. So check that out.
You can walk it someday.
I could walk it. No, I wouldn't. I'd take a cart. I don't golf without a cart, and it's Yeah, that's just the way I am. You can contact Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, at WhitmoreLakeGolfLinks.com, or you can call 734-449-4653. That's 734-449-4653, and they're located on 6 Mile Road in Whitmore Lake. Check it out, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Take your moms out for breakfast tomorrow morning. So, anyways, we've got... do we have our guests lining up here? Oh, yes. Here we go.
Oh, excellent. Yes. That's so good. Let's takes the pressure off.
That takes the pressure off. We're welcoming Bill Federer to the show. Bill, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you.
I'm going to let Ed give you a little intro, and then we'll let you loose upon the American public.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Hey, Bill, long time no talk.
Hey, Ed.
So, Bill here is in town. He's at Grace Baptist Church, in Belleville this afternoon. He's finishing up a seminar on Islam and America's Christian heritage, and it's a very fascinating way he handles that. I've heard it now, and he was at the Willow Run Tea Party Caucus at the Big Sky Diner last night, and now he's joining us today to talk about that same subject. I think you'll find it very interesting. But before we go on that, I'd like to ask Bill to tell us a little bit about how he got into this gig. We had a chance to talk to Bill quite a bit, my wife Sherry and I, and we found him to be a very, very warm human being, very, very decent man of integrity, a good Christian. And because I'm saying this because you don't know when you just watch somebody on TV what they're really like behind the scenes. And I just want to give accolades to Bill for what he does and how he does it. So, Bill, how'd you get into this?
Well, you're kind, Ed, and I heard someone say a long time ago, a big shot's just a little shot away from home. And my dad was a historian. He was an attorney and head of several historical societies in St. Louis. One was the Carondelet Historical Society, a little French area that was sort of predated St. Louis by a couple decades. Another was the Chatillon de Menil Mansion, the fur trapper. So they'd have the roundup in Colorado. They'd have all the fur trappers come out of the mountains once a year, and they'd sell their furs. Well, they'd bring all the furs to St. Louis, and they would sell them, and it was the big fur exchange. And until the King of England started wearing silk hats instead of fur hats, right? And it basically saved the beaver. They were being chased almost to extinction, so had that not happened. But anyway, my dad was the head of those historical societies, so I sort of grew up. Whenever vacation, we'd stop at French Fort, Spanish Fort, Indian Reservation, Civil War battlefield. We had like a library in the house, but it sort of impacted my view. And the minored in history, I got a degree in accounting, but it wasn't until years later, and I was teaching some Bible classes, helping out at a church, and found some quotes about what some famous people said about God. I thought, this is interesting. We got God in our pledge. We got God in our coins. And I'm going to go to the library, check out a book, and read about this. But I couldn't find one. So I started reading through all the messages and papers of the presidents. Every past president, their addresses. I was shocked to see James Madison had a day of fasting and prayer when the British burnt the White House. John Adams had a day of fasting and prayer during a threatened war with France. Even Woodrow Wilson had a day of fasting and prayer to Almighty God when we entered World War One. And of course, Franklin Roosevelt had a D-Day prayer. Truman made the National Day of Prayer an annual event. Reagan made it the first Thursday in May. And then I read through all the colonial charters, and I was shocked to realize that every colony was started by a different Christian denomination. Virginia was Anglican. Massachusetts was Puritan. Rhode Island was Baptist. New York was Dutch Reformed. Delaware and New Jersey were originally Swedish Lutheran. Maryland was Catholic. Pennsylvania was Quaker. Connecticut and New Hampshire were Congregationalists. And guess what? They didn't get along. They would chase each other out of each other's colonies, tar and feather each other. It wasn't until the Revolution started that they all had to work together against the King of England. After the Revolution, they began to tolerate each other. Right? First Protestants, and then Catholics, then Jews, and but it was under the states level. So some states expanded religious freedom a little faster, others didn't. Sort of like today, some states have marijuana and others don't. Some states like Nevada have prostitution, thank God the rest don't. Back then, some states gave a little more freedom, and other states had blue laws where everything was closed on Sunday. but it was up to the people in the states to decide. That's the way it was up until 1947, when Hugo Black, put on the Supreme Court by Franklin Roosevelt. He had never been a judge before in his life. He was a Democrat senator, and he takes religion out of state's jurisdiction, puts it under the federal, and within one generation it sort of morphs into them, including secular humanism as a religion, and all kinds of, you know, beliefs of right and wrong. You know, had draft dodgers during the Vietnam War, wanted to be conscientious objectors as an atheist, and the Supreme Court said, when someone holds beliefs with the same conviction as those who believe in a religious deity, those beliefs constitute their religion. And so now all atheism is considered a religion. People say, what? Yeah, in 2005, an atheist prisoner in the Wisconsin prison system wanted to have a non-Bible study Bible study. And the prison system said, no, you only get room for a religious study. Well, the sues goes to the federal court, and the judge says atheism is the prisoner's religion, and it is incumbent upon the courts to use a broad definition of religion that includes theistic and non-theistic beliefs. Because atheism is his religion, even though it specifically denies the being of a God.
But it is a religion.
So here, to not prefer one quote-unquote religion over the other, they kick God out, which ironically is effectively establishing their religion of atheism. So we see that backslidden from the time when the founders settled the country and there were Christians of different denominations.
So by that rationale, then, shouldn't we be protected from atheism and humanism because they are religions and keep them out of our government?
You're hitting it right on the head, yeah. So, yeah, let's have separation of church and state. Let's keep the atheists out, right? And so what's the federal government supposed to do? Nothing. They're supposed to throw their hands up when the subject of religion comes before the federal government. They're supposed to say, we have no jurisdiction over this. We throw it back to the states and then let the people in the states decide.
You know, Bill, you were talking about our history and you're discovering our history. You said something earlier about a nation and its history. There's a quote. Would you like to repeat that?
Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. was on John F. Kennedy's staff. And Schlesinger said, history is to the nation what memory is to the individual. So have you ever met an individual who has lost their memory? Maybe they have Alzheimer's. They forgot who they are. They forgot who you are. They can be taken advantage of really easily. Well, guess what? We have national Alzheimer's. Here we are, the freest country the planet Earth has ever seen, and we forgot how we got here. And as a result, we're letting these freedoms just get taken away from us. And so when I share these stories, I feel like I'm in a sense giving, you know, somebody their memory back. It's like, the lights go on. This is who we are as a people, right? And so there's actually a communist tactic called deconstruction, where you separate a people from their past, get them into a neutral where they do not remember where they came from, and then you can brainwash them into the future you have planned for them. It's a sales technique. If I was a toothpaste salesman, the first thing I would do is say negative things about the toothpaste you're currently using. You're still using that old stuff. It'll eat the enamel off your teeth. Ooh, you're repulsed by it. Now I got you into the neutral. You're sort of open-minded. What are all the toothpaste out there nowadays? And then I can give you my pitch for this Tart-and-Go breast freshener stuff. And so they do this in the classrooms. They tell the kids negative things about the founders. They took land from Indians. They sold people into slavery. And ooh, the students are repulsed by them. Now you got the kids into the neutral. They're sort of open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there? And then you can give them your pitch for socialism or LGBT or Islam, right? And so we see this happen in Europe. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian past, right? It used to be Catholic with cathedrals and then a Protestant Reformation and then Jewish neighborhoods. But then Europe went into a secular neutral with the French Revolution and Napoleon spreading this French secularism all around and say, hey, anything goes, free sex, LGBT. And now Europe is entering an Islamic future, with Muhammad being the number one name for newborns in London, Brussels, Milan, and girls getting raped on the streets of Cologne. And the Europeans are scratching their heads, thinking, how did we get here? Easy. You cut ties with the Judeo-Christian past, and then you went through this transition phase of the secular gay agenda, and then it's quickly co-opted and taken over by Islam. So in a sense, all the transgendered agenda is a transition phase from the Muslim, from the Christian past to the Muslim future.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh, Bill. You just really brought me down.
I told you.
It's not like I didn't know it, but you made it clear cut there, and just amazing. Just amazing.
So you're saying Europe forgot its history, and that's how they got to be where they are. And you said taking advantage of. Actually, I'm thinking of a friend of mine who has Alzheimer's, and basically become dysfunctional. You just can't function. And that's where we have found ourselves recently. And I'm hoping that the Trump election helps pull us away from that.
Yeah, I think we've gotten somewhat of a reprieve from this agenda. But if the other side ever gets back in charge, they will be back with a vengeance. And we could see these freedoms evaporate quickly.
Yeah. So Bill, let me ask you. So, as you were describing the demonization part that you would do as a toothpaste salesman, or as what our school system is doing to kids nowadays, this is exactly, I was thinking of Trump. This is exactly what the media, the left, and the establishment is doing to Trump. That every day they're on the news demonizing him for stuff that. Even 2 months ago, they said. So they're being completely hypocritical about it, but they're just bashing it every day, every day, every day. You'll see Schumer out there, and he looks like a complete fool because those of us with memory of 2 months more know that he was saying the same thing, and yet they're demonizing him every day, trying to get the American people to turn against him.
Yes. So Hitler's propaganda minister said that a lie said often enough becomes the truth. So it's once you get rid of a God, then all history is something that can be manipulated to promote an agenda.
Yeah.
And so there's no absolute right. There's no absolute wrong. Your absolute right is your agenda. That's what Saul Alinsky said. And as long as you're committed to your agenda, whatever achieves that agenda is right. And whatever opposes that agenda is wrong. And,
I'm always fond of saying that history belongs to those who write it, and sometimes to those who rewrite it. You know,
that's a rather Orwellian.
But it's as true Winston. As it comes, right? Yeah. I don't know if I heard that somewhere or if I just made it up. I'm not going to take credit for it because I might have heard it and it's in my subconscious from somebody. But it's very true. So
it is. I heard another little saying. There's three groups of people: those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that wonder what happened.
That's me.
So I tell people, why don't you be that small percentage that makes things happen? Don't just sit back. And that leads into my new book. It's called Who is the King in America? I'm going to be speaking at it tonight at the Grace Church in Belleville. And I go through all of world history, and I study what is the most common form of government. And it found some interesting things. The first thing was that human records begin around 3 or 4,000 B.C., Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. Today, that's Iraq. Well, 3 or 4,000 B.C., and we're around 2000 A.D., that's around 5 or 6,000 years of recorded human history, human beings writing down human records. And 6,000 years is not that long. It's only 60 people living 100 years each back to back. Everyone's met someone who's lived 100 years or close to it, maybe a grandmother. We're talking 60 grandmothers, and you're all the way back to the very beginning of recorded human history.
Wow.
But the question is, what's the most common form of government? Well, let's see. What do these records show? Gilgamesh, king of Uruk, Sargon of Akkadia, who conquers from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean around 2250 B.C., Egyptian pharaohs for 2,000 years, they control Egypt. Chinese emperors for 5,000 years, they control China. Indian Maharajas. Raja means king, Maha means great. And then you have Cyrus of Persia had the largest empire. And conquered by Alexander the Great, who had the largest empire. Conquered by the Roman Caesars, who had the largest empire. Conquered by Attila the Hun, who had the largest empire. Conquered by Muslim sultans and the Byzantine emperors, and a Genghis Khan conquers from Korea to Hungary, kills 30 million people, and has the largest contiguous land empire in world history. Wow. And it's sort of like a nautilus shell. You know that little shell that there's a teeny little circle, then it comes around with a little bit bigger circle, then it comes around with a bigger, bigger circle, right? You know, and so these empires, you track them, they keep getting bigger and bigger. Clearly, there's a global goal in mind, and if it wasn't for death, one of these dictators would have the whole world under their thumb by now. But by the time of the founding of America, the most powerful king on the planet was the King of England. sun never set on his empire. He had all of India, a quarter of the world's population right there, Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, countries in Africa, from Egypt down to Kenya to South Africa, and had Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and America. And when America's founders got the opportunity, they wanted to set up a government that was as far away from a king as possible. So they flipped it and made the people the king. So a republic, right, we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic. A republic is the people are king ruling through representatives. And so when you're pledging allegiance to the flag, you're basically pledging allegiance to you being in charge of yourself under God. And so when somebody dishonors the flag, what they're saying is, I don't want to be the king anymore. It's like, okay, somebody else is going to rule your life. And so John Jay was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He says, the people are the sovereign of this country. Governor Morris signed the declaration. He says, the magistrate is not the king. The people are the king. Thomas Jefferson says, the Supreme Court justice says, there must be an ultimate arbiter, decider, somewhere. True, there must. The ultimate arbiter is the people. Lincoln said, the people of this country are the rightful masters of both Congresses and courts. I could go on and on. Grover Cleveland said, the sovereignty of 60 million of free people is the working out of the divine right of man to rule himself. And so Teddy Roosevelt says, in no other place and at no other time has the experiment of government of the people, by the people, and for the people been tried on so vast a scale as here in our own country. And so out of these 6,000 years of world history and this gravitational pull for power to go into the hands of one person, our founders flipped it, and all the Constitution is a bunch of hurdles to prevent the rubber band from snapping back into the hands of a king. They separate the power into three branches. They separate it federal to state level. They tie up this federal Frankenstein with 10 handcuffs called the First 10 Amendment, right? It's just a bunch of hurdles to prevent this rubber band from snapping back. Unfortunately, there are philosophers in history that have noticed that in times of crises, people are willing to give up their freedoms. So Machiavelli and Hegel and Karl Marx and Saul Alinsky. So what do they teach? They teach to intentionally create crises so that people will surrender their freedoms and the rubber band can snap back into the hands of a dictator. 45 countries fell to communism this way. They would send in agitators, agent provocateurs, community organizers, labor organizers. Their goal is to find the grievances in a society and stir them up and fan them until there's outbreaks of random violence and bloodshed and mobs in the street. And in the confusion, everybody is willing to surrender their freedom to somebody that promises to fix it. And this person sends their militarized police down the street. They go house to house and collect everybody's guns. And yeah, they restore order. But when the dust settles, you'll have fundamentally transformed your country from the people ruling from the bottom up to the king ruling from the top down. A polarity change. And we were this close to having this take place in America. I personally feel like we've gotten a reprieve from that agenda with this recent election, but those forces are still there. It's a gravitational force that's sort of embedded in human nature. And we need to really, I was talking to some of the people on the Trump transition team, and it's this idea, you know, take the opportunity to dismantle some of these federal agencies. You know, it was Jimmy Carter that I think developed the Department of Education. And Reagan, I was at an event, and they were honoring Bill Bennett. He's a great person, a great man. He's brilliant. But they showed a clip of Ronald Reagan introducing Bill Bennett to the staff. And he says, you know, when I was running for president, I said that I wanted to abolish the Department of Education. But then I met Bill Bennett. And, you know, it goes on to say, and everybody claps, and it's like, wait a second. He should have abolished the Department of Education. We wouldn't have to worry about Common Core.
I remember, I remember Bill Bennett telling
that had no child left behind. Clinton had outcome-based education. You know, and it's all this attitude of, hey, I'm in charge of it, and so let's do something good. It's like, let's just take the opportunity to disassemble this monster, you know?
You know, Bill, I remember Bill Bennett telling me once on air that he went – he tried to get the budget for the Department of Education cut, and he couldn't do it because Congress wouldn't let him do it.
Yeah, and the dilemma is, and again, he's a tremendous person. I've read his books. I love his books. I recommend his books. He's a tremendous person. But once you get an establishment bureaucracy that is drawing their livelihood from the state, they have the strongest motivation to want to keep the state big because it's their job. And so you reach this tipping point where they just wanted to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and until finally at some point there's not enough people to pay the taxes. And at this point, Obama doubled the debt. We're into the trillions, and we're barely paying the interest on the debt. And, at some point in time, if the Saudis, if the petrodollar falls and oil is traded in something other than the U.S. dollar, our dollar
we're
will
screwed.
Be useless. It'll fall through the floor. And Bill, we're so in debt.
You're absolutely right. We're running out of time. You're going to be speaking again today at Grace Baptist?
Yes, at 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock. Okay, and that's right across in Belleville, right across the street from Johnny's on the Lake. If anybody's curious where that is, I highly recommend you go to hear Bill speak. And we really appreciate you having you on board today, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bill, let's make sure we get you back on again. Even if you're not in town, we'll have you call in because this was enlightening. It's one of the shows where I actually learned something, many things, and I'm very impressed. So let's have you on again. I appreciate it.
I have a little less Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. And make sure you guys go out and see him tonight. Take care, Bill.
Well, thank you. If anyone's interested, my website's AmericanMinute.com, and I send out a free daily email.
Okay, AmericanMinute.com. Got it. All right, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Oh, that was great. That was really informative. So
and
we're going to have to have him on again.
I believe Wham's going to be hosting his American Minute spots.
Okay, good. Well, before we close out here, let me just say, tonight I think I'm heading out to Burroughs Roadhouse in West Brighton, and that's 5311 Brighton Road. You can reach them at 810-227-6000. That's 810-227-6000. Come on out and have a drink with me. And they've got great food. They've got great drinks. And they've got a Mother's Day special tomorrow, so you can call and make reservations, 810-227-6000, or you can go to the website, www.burroughs-roadhouse.com, burroughs-roadhouse.com. And it's a great place. Got the atmosphere. It's just a really cool place to have dinner and do some drinks. So check it out. I'll be out there tonight. Look for the guy with the alt-right haircut. That'll be me. I'm going to go home and cut my hair. I'm in a mood, you know. So anything else you have?
No. I just would encourage anybody who has yet to buy a Mother's Day card for the mother in their life, please do that before tomorrow. They're probably going to be picked over by then.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and make sure you're going to thedailydrift.com. Yep. I work hard to put that up there for you every day. And there's a lot of really good information,
yes.
Especially if you're tired of the government and seeing all the nonsense that's going on, educate yourself by listening to guys like Bill Federer on this show and listening to programs here at Wham Talk 1600 and going to thedailydrift.com.
For the news you need to know.
The news you need to know. And if you want to get in the current newspaper this month, call me, 734-629-6010. See you next week.